This is My Favorite DJ, the podcast. Today we're brought to you by patreon.com/myfavoriteDJ. It is my Patreon. I have edits, videos of me making edits, videos of how to use edits. Every now and then I'll drop something special in there. Like I think last year I did instrumentals and acapellas, and there's always a lot of those around. But now with Serato Stems, you know, you might not need those. Well, at least until the tech gets a little better. I feel like the tech is still... It still has a ways to go. The instrumentals are good. The acapellas could be slightly better. I haven't tried out... DJ Cflow sent me Stemverter 3, which is a little program that... Not a little, but it's a big program. That converts your music into stems. And it definitely has better results than Serato for now. Eventually, I think the technology will catch up and you'll be able to do really great things with the Serato stems. It's just the first iteration of the program. So, patreon.com/myfavoriteDJ. Check it out if you haven't already. We're also brought to you by my Club Killers mix, mixcloud.com/clubkillers. It dropped, it's number 452. It dropped, it was the first one of the year. If you're interested in knowing how I made that mix, the full Ableton session is on my Patreon. You can download the whole session. It's like 3 gigabytes. Every single cut, mix, sound effect is all there. You can see how I do my multi-track mixes and get an idea of how to set your own up. So if that interests you, patreon.com/myfavoriteDJ. I've been playing with Serato stems for a while now. I wanted to play with it when it was in its beta version because it worked just fine on my computer, but... The whole warning about this will most likely or definitely crash. Don't use it in an environment where you need to be professional, et cetera, et cetera. So I heeded the warning, and also a DJ buddy of mine told me not to use it, so I didn't. But now that it's fully out, I've been using it, and it's great. I'm on the M1 Apple MacBook Pro. I have just the Pro, not the Pro Max. So I have a 16-inch M1 chip with 16 gigabytes of RAM and a terabyte of space. It's been flawless. I've been running it since November of 2021, right when they came out. I haven't had a single issue with it. When I use the big brick charger, I think it's 96 watts. I don't know, whatever the biggest MacBook charger brick that goes plugged into the wall is. It charges quick, guys. I mean, in 30 minutes, I have like 80% battery, even if it's at zero. So that's very beneficial. The battery life is still pretty good after almost, what's going to be 2 years now? A year and a couple months, not 2 years. So great machine. Great machine. The only thing that I had to adapt basically was the USB-C. Plugs. Other than that, I have zero complaints about the MacBook with the M1 chip. If you've been thinking about making the jump, it's worked great for me. It's expensive, but it's so far been very worth it. And the new Serato stems has been perfectly on point. No issues whatsoever. It takes a little bit of adjusting. Like if you want to do an acapella on the fly, sometimes when you hit certain... Like the acapella without having the stem converted already, it'll take the computer maybe 2 to 3 seconds and you might get a drop of audio. Not in a bad way, just the specific thing that you're clicking on, the side that you're clicking on will drop out while the computer runs the stem, which I'm sure they're eventually going to fix. It's not a deal breaker whatsoever. Or you could just have everything into stems already, just convert everything and have everything ready to go. The way that it works is basically... You can do one of two things to set it up. You can either, from basically the main Serato page, you click a microphone up top and it converts whatever you're playing into just a cappella. But it takes a few seconds. So if you want to do that, you got to prepare in advance. And then you can click the little piano right under the microphone, right on the main screen, right where the track section is that you're playing, and it'll give you just the instrumental. So it'll phase out or remove the acapella from the track, and now you have an instrumental. And I think that one works a little bit faster than the acapella. That being said, what you could also do is drag and drop the song b- before you need to do an acapella or an instrumental into the stems conversion section, and it will have it ready for you. So the next time that you're playing it, you hit the microphone or the keyboard and it'll automatically just go immediately to acapella or instrumental without having those 3 to 5 seconds of doing the conversion on the fly. The only thing is that the stems actually do take up some space, some hard drive space. So I highly recommend that you account for that. If you're going to do it to a whole library, you're like, I don't remember exactly how big the stems are, but they're pretty big. They're about the size of the song itself, if not slightly bigger. So whatever space your library is currently occupying, you can expect the stems to take up the exact same amount. So you'd be doubling your hard drive space. That's just quick ballpark math off the top of my head, what I remember. You know, do your own research and see what it's like for you. I have come to the conclusion that January is one of the most difficult months to book as a DJ. You have the New Year's Eve hangover, the holiday hangover, people aren't spending as much. This year, I booked my entire month of January in full, so that made me feel really good. If you guys are out there and you have a couple spotty dates in January, don't feel bad about it because it's a tough month to book. And if you didn't get it this year, maybe, you know, make a plan for next year. You could start working from November to really get that month cracking. A lot of times when you're booking stuff for yourself, like I'm doing now, you got to do it. It's like a Groundhog's Day, but you have to do it with enough time advance to be able to fill everything that you're going to want to fill. It's almost like, what do I call it? I called it the fertility period. You know, if you're booking multiple different venues, you got to catch the booker like right at the computer, right at their email, right at the calendar, right in the moment they're ready to book. You might send a text message and that doesn't get answered, an email and that doesn't get answered. You know, like you have to time these things really well. But when you do and you get everything going on all cylinders, man, it's great to have a full schedule. For the first time, in 2012, probably like 12 years, I am officially like not on a management or a roster, completely booking gigs by myself. And it's actually kind of exciting because even though it is more work, I enjoy the process and I have all these connections from all the years that I've been doing everything, you know. It's more money in my pocket. I like doing things in a specific manner, and I don't have to wait for anyone to take action to execute. Don't have to run ideas by anyone. It's like I'm the captain of the ship. And one of my thoughts for this year was once I could improve the concept of self-booking and like put all the gigs under my belt and get everything rolling and feel confident. Because again, I haven't booked for myself for entirely 100% for myself, which is what I'm doing now, but I have booked gigs in the past for myself, you know, whenever there was a hole somewhere in my calendar, I'd fill it in, depending what agency I was on. But I like it right now. I think the coolest thing that I was thinking about, which there's probably a space right now for it to exist, is I was thinking about creating my own DJ agency. But again, I want to get to the point where I'm able to do everything for myself and can take it all. I can do it all myself, feel confident doing it, because the responsibility of booking for other people or helping other people out is a big one. And so once it's almost like an example I like using when we talk about certain things, this would be one of them. If you're on an airplane and there's a sudden loss of cabin pressure, they always tell you to put the mask on yourself before you put it on somebody else. Because if the other person's not able to put on the mask, the oxygen mask, and you're trying to help them because they can't, then you might run out of oxygen and pass out, and they're going to pass out as well. So you both pass out. So the idea is you want to make sure you strap your mask on first. You're able to breathe, and then you help other people. You know, that oxygen intake is a really important thing for the person that's helping everyone else. So what I'm trying to do is create enough oxygen so that I can look around and say, all right, like, who do I want to work with? Like, who would I want to help out? Who can I get into my connections throughout the country? Who can I help out to put in different places where, you know, I would be making a percentage, or maybe the agency would be making a percentage. Maybe it's some sort of a co-op. Maybe it's a bunch of DJs that are solo DJs and they already have something, and it's kind of like, oh, I can bring you down to Miami. Can you bring me to your, you know, your state, your spot? But everyone's under, like, you know, one umbrella and repping a specific agency. Yeah, just an idea. Also had an idea about micro contracts, like instead of long-term management deals, it's like you sign a one-night deal. It's like, hey, look, I didn't, you know, you're on your own, do whatever you want, but I can probably get you this one space. Here's a contract for just one night. And then you're on the agency for one night, and then you're off the next day. Something like that. I don't know. But again, this is all predicated on me being able to take care of my needs and my professional goals, which so far, I mean, I'm looking at the calendar and like I see another date filled, another date filled, another date filled, and I start to grow in confidence, and it's kind of fun. It's like playing a game of whack-a-mole, and then but once you hit a date, you put something on it, it's gone. That's it. That's a locked up paycheck. It's kind of fun. We'll see how that develops. You know, I'll keep you guys posted throughout the year and on how that goes. I have a video that I've been meaning to do, which I need to do before the 20th of January. So I have another 10 days. I'll probably do it maybe this weekend. I have to book some studio time. I have a camera. A few years ago, I bought a Sony. What's the one that's really good at nighttime? It's a DSLR. Sony. Oh, goodness. I'm going to have to look it up. I don't remember exactly, but it's an exceptional camera. Sony Night Camera Best. Come on, Google. Tell me what I need to know. Tell me what I need to know. A7S. That's what it is. So it's the Sony A7S, which I remember looking up multiple reviews about it. It was expensive at the time. I wonder what it's going for now. It might not be as expensive as it was before, but it should have kept some residual value. Sony A7S. $899. Oh, the body itself over here used is $589. A7 original is $1,500. A7S, $1,200. That's brand new. So I think I paid $1,500 with a couple batteries and a few lenses. So I didn't do that bad. I could probably get maybe close to that, maybe $1,200, $1,300 for a small loss on a piece of tech that's about 3 or 4 years old. Maybe more. It's got to be 5 or 6 years old at this point. Anyway, I have the video that I want to shoot, and then I'm going to put it up on promo. So, you know, I start setting goals for myself. I always had professional goals. Even before I was doing all of literally everything for my brand by myself, I've always had professional goals like, all right, I'm going to do this calendar, do this video, this mix, this idea, like the Club Killers mix I was planning for a while. And I sent Alex from Club Killers a pitch for the 12 Days of Christmas. So I recorded videos of me helping Club Killers do promo and give away things and increase the interaction and the awareness. And make it fun just so there's content on the Club Killers platform. And it benefits me as well because now I'm being displayed every day on the, you know, one of the top DJ record pools, Instagram. And then the culmination of it is I drop a Club Killer mix through Club Killers, obviously. They allow me to put a mix out through their platform on Mixcloud at the end of 12 Days of Christmas. And it all ties in together. It's all synergy and all that. The original thought of that was in September. I had the idea in September, like 12 Days of Christmas is kind of a cool idea. Let's do something. How can I do it on the biggest platform ever? I have a good relationship with Alex. The Club Killers team is amazing. Lou DeVille, JD Live. I know John Cha. I know that I'm going to forget some people, and I'm sorry, but the Club Killer crew is amazing. And I sent over a proposal to Alex. I said, hey, 12 Days of Christmas, I do videos giving away this. What are your thoughts? He said, I like it. I said, cool. Because you like it, let me put together a PDF. So I actually put together a whole proposal, a 2-page PDF, like a call to action and what the event was about, what we would be doing. And then I did a schedule like a 12-day schedule every day, which I actually had to push back because I was sick. I had a bad cold and I couldn't film any of the videos because my voice was all off. But we pushed it back, and I had 12 days basically locked up on a calendar, and every day it was like Instagram post, flyer, and then call to action, and then there was the execution, like what we would do. Give away a subscription, give away Club Killers packages, give away t-shirts, stickers, all this stuff. So it was like a full-blown proposal that I did based on an idea I had in September. So basically the fourth quarter of my 2022 had this big project that was for marketing, for visibility of my brand, for the extension of Club Killers to potentially reignite relationships from DJs that maybe they had lost touch with. And the culmination is me dropping a Club Killer mix, which I'm very proud of. And if you haven't heard it, please go check it out. Mixcloud.com/Club Killers. These kinds of ideas, it's 3 months, 3.5 months in advance. Excuse me. Big yawn. I'm still not on caffeine. So it's 3 months of planning in advance, and I don't think about these things when I do them. I just think of something, a project I want to do, and I just kind of go with it, and it just happens to work. And it eats up 3 months of time of marketing, time and promo, and then, which is a good thing, because there's something always moving. There's always content going out into the world with my brand, with the Club Killers brand, which is like a synergistic kind of relationship. And then, you know, January comes around, I have a big calendar that I put together with Mo. I send it over to my longtime designer friend Mo, and he puts together a really cool thing. I plug in the calendar. Hopefully I said calendar, not contract. I was thinking the word contract, but I send a calendar to Mo, and he puts it to life with a visual representation, digital design, little video, drop an Instagram reel with a still, my dates for January. After, you know, all the things that I had done leading up to January, and it just kind of worked out. So here's a question. Is my January full because I worked from September to the end of December on an idea with lots of marketing promo and I had momentum? Or would it have been filled anyway? I don't know the answer to that question. It's an interesting question to think about, though. Whenever you do a lot of work and things happen to result for the positive, what would have happened if you didn't do all that work? I don't know if there's any way of actually knowing, unless you stop. Would you? You would have to start from zero and see if you can fill dates, and then do a bunch of work and see if you get filled more dates. But anyway, filling dates is one part. Getting paid is amazing, but it's almost tax season, ladies and gentlemen. All of my independent contractors out there, all my hopefully corporation owner listeners out there in the world. Well, not in the world, United States mostly. I don't know what the tax laws and all the tax implications are throughout the rest of the world, but I've had a corporation for 17 years now. So 18 years now. And it was a very, very smart financial decision for me, because it is, as being an independent contractor and having money come in through the business is the best way that I could have structured things. I recently had a conversation with an Uber, an Uber driver. And I asked him if he was incorporated to be driving Uber and like using his corporation to pay himself and writing off things like, you know, tires, oil, gasoline, miles traveled, wear and tear on the car. And he said no. And I said, oh Jesus, you need to get an accountant, buddy. I said, you need an accountant, and I'm going to suggest that you get some sort of a corporation that is recommended to you by a professional, because you're losing right now. You're not winning. You're making money maybe, but you could be winning a lot more, because corporations have a lot of benefits. And, the guy was like, thank you so much. I'm definitely going to look into it. So I'm giving the same advice to you guys. If you are an independent contractor, I highly suggest that you go speak to an accountant, and a good one. Because independent contractors, people that have sole proprietorships, they benefit, I think, the most from speaking to a professional and getting advice on the best way to navigate taxes. So if you don't have one, this is your signal. Go check out, go speak to an accountant. You know, if your family has a long-standing accountant, maybe, but I've found that the best results are finding someone that's relatively younger. I think my accountant is not that much older than I am, if not the same age, if not, might be younger. I don't know. It's just a, you know, in dude in his 30s. So he's great. And I've used him for the last 7 or 8 years. And it's a very important asset to have, having a corporation as an independent contractor. So that's my public service announcement. Speak to a professional and see, because it's January. It might be, I don't know. It's January, which means by April we got a file. But I've been sending my accountant tax documents since the end of the end of November, early December. I start sending in everything for the whole year because I want to get a jump start on it. The faster I do my taxes, the faster I could qualify for potentially buying property, buying assets, buying something once my tax returns come in. And if I want to make a big purchase, there's a deal that presents itself. This is how I operate. It's how my brain works. So the beginning of January, I'm already like hopefully 75 to 80% done with my entire previous year. And by the end of January, we're already filing. Once the W-2s come in, W-2s or the 1099s. I think they're the 1099s. Whatever the forms are when you get paid as an independent contractor, once those forms come in and everything gets settled and figured out by the accountant, we're filing like early Feb, mid-February at the latest. Because, well, you know, once everything's done properly and correctly, which is the most important thing, like the last thing you want is have to worry about gigs, marketing, promo, doing, you know, photo shoots, pictures, if you have a family life. And on top of that, you know, get a letter saying, hey, you messed up on your taxes. We want to talk to you. You want to make sure that all that stuff is squared away and done by a professional. You know, unless you have very simple taxes, which is, this is, again, this is advice I'm parroting. I'm not a professional by any means. But if you have very simple taxes and you work like a job and you get W-2'd and they pay for your health insurance and they take away the taxes and they do everything from the paycheck. If you have a simple return, from what I understand, an accountant won't be much help to you. But again, speak to an accountant if you're in that situation. I wouldn't know. I'm just a chimp that sends over paperwork to a smart person, and that smart person files my taxes. So it's important to make sure that that stuff gets done properly. Being independent contractors, you don't want to end up with a big bill, because then the big bill gets carried over a couple years, and before you know it, you're not in good shape. There's another thing I wanted to talk about today, which was that making sure that everyone's out there is, you know, aware of the benefits of an accountant. Something else. No, actually, let me just talk about my last weekend. I did a triple duty this weekend, which was fantastic. Speaking of which, I have to remind myself to send an invoice for one of the gigs. Friday night, Saturday day party, Saturday night. I loved it. It was fantastic. Let me see. Let me count the money in my head here. Where did I work on Friday? Oh, that was that. That's, okay, doing that. 11, and then carry the one. Let me do some math here. And I'm going to tell you guys, a local weekend where I work three shifts versus out of town work. So, all right. So that's that in my pocket. When I used to do out of town work, let's say that, a very average week, you could do, let's say, 2,000 on a Friday, 2,000 on a Saturday. That's like, again, average, right? Some weekends you might make more, some weekends you might make less, but just an average. So you factor in, you'd say that the base rate is 2,000. You're getting hotel, ground, and maybe dinner. So let's just start with the big number, 4K. Sunday you wake up and you think, wow, I made 4,000. Wrong answer. So you got 2,000 on Friday, 2,000 on Saturday. You got 4,000 total, but they were out of town gigs. So the first flight costs you 350. So you're out 350. And then you had to eat breakfast and lunch, dinner was taken care of. So I like to eat. So let's say that's another, that's $100. I could say miscellaneous charges like water bottles, coffees, you know, maybe like a small luxury here or there. You decided to take a daytime at the gym, but a day pass at the gym. But let's keep that. Let's keep $100 for food, $350 for flight. So then you do the job on Friday, wake up the next day, travel to the next city. That's another, again, let's just do $350 for a flight. And then you got to eat again. So that's another $100. So from the $4,000 that you made, now you're down to $3,100. And you know what? Just for the sake of being around, because this is going to happen, let's say that you decided to get a souvenir for family, a gift for your girl. You picked up a coffee and a bottle of water and a cookie at the airport, which is about $100. So you're down to $3,000 for your Friday and Saturday. Pretty sweet, right? Wrong answer. You still haven't gotten rid of everything. So now, and by the way, the flights that you purchased will likely be like upfront. Now, again, this is an average weekend, an average deal, out of town stuff. Some places, some venues will do flight reimbursements. Some places will do food comps if it's like a resort. So you don't have to spend any money. You just basically charge it to your room and it gets zeroed out when you check out. This is just a basic representation. So you got $3,000 left over after flights, after food, and after a miscellaneous expense. Great, right? We got to keep going. So you have an agency that's booked these gigs for you. And the standard high-end agency percentage is 20%. So from your $3,000, you get minus 20%. That's $600. Now you're left with $2,400. Wow, that's pretty good, right? That's $1,200 for Friday and $1,200 for Saturday. You're not done yet. You're an independent contractor. You got to get some of that to the government. And I don't know what tax bracket you would fit into, so let's just pick an arbitrary 25%. Minus 25%. So it's $600. So now you're at $1,800 in your pocket, which comes out to $900 per day. Now, you're still making bankroll. That's fantastic. There's very few jobs outside of the professional sector where you can make that kind of money. Like lawyers bill, you know, $300, $250 an hour. That's a big deal. Depending on the lawyer, it might cost you more. There, obviously, that's probably the average low range. There's some lawyers that probably cost, you know, thousands per hour. But that being said, you got $1,800 left in your pocket after all is said and done as profit, absolute profit, pure profit for yourself after you've paid everything and everyone. Not bad. So this weekend, I made a hair less than that with no travel. And so I ask, you know, is it worth the flying back and forth? It definitely is for a lot of DJs. For me, it's not. For me, it's not. Can you imagine getting stuck in all these like airplane horror stories we've been hearing about for the last like 3 or 4 weeks? People being unable to go to gigs, being unable to go home after gigs, like getting stuck. I know, shout out to the Road Podcast. A Crooked got stuck in Sacramento for Christmas, and he basically helped decorate the Sacramento, the Christmas tree outside of City Hall. They needed a DJ for that gig, so he was playing music while they were decorating the Christmas tree. That's what I heard. I don't know. Ask Crooked. So he's playing music, and they're decorating the Christmas tree in the Sacramento City Hall. That's what I understand happened from a very, very reliable source. So definitely ask Crooked about that. But again, this is kind of like the breakdown. I've done money breakdowns on the podcast before. There's definitely some stuff out there about it. Just a quick refresher. If you haven't listened to some of the old episodes and this kind of thing interests you, you should probably go back and listen to them. But there's lots of different deals that you could broker with nightclubs. You know, there's an all-in deal, which means like, hey, we're going to pay you this money when you walk through the door. You figure out your flight, your hotel, your travel here, your food. You figure out everything. This is what you get. When you walk in the club and you play music, we're going to give you a check for this much money. There's that. Then there's like rate plus. So you get your rate plus hotel. You get to get your rate plus hotel plus ground transportation. Rate plus hotel plus ground transportation plus reimbursement of flight. And then you can get rate, hotel, ground, reimbursement of flight, and a per diem to eat, depending on what level you are in the level of bookings that a venue might be going through. You know, if David Guetta probably gets a lot more than that. You know, David Guetta probably gets the private jet from the entity that's booking him, and the best suite in the hotel, and obviously all the food is paid for, and there's a driver on standby, and, you know, the big checks. And that's what you get when you're a producer slash pop music DJ. And then, you know, you work your way down from that all the way down to the most of us that will have to work on a cranberry and vodka stained mixer for whatever the nightclub is going to pay on a Friday or Saturday. So now, not to diminish what we do, because we are look, open format DJs, open format local DJs are the most important DJs in the world, in my opinion. You got your guys that are up there, the real quote-unquote important dudes that make a bunch of money and do a bunch of things, but the guys that keep everyone dancing week in and week out, the guys that make their community happy and like tourists happy, and guy people that can't maybe afford $100 or $200 ticket, that's us, you know. And it used to be me more than it is now, because now I'm not, you know, grinding on the low level as I did for a long time anymore, even though I still hit the grind. Oh, here's a perfect example. So a recent gig, you know, January is not crazy. People are hungover from New Year's, and they still have some credit card bills to pay off from the holiday season. So you know, you're not partying like a rock star through January. So what happens? Well, you spend a little bit less. That means you might not go out. So I was playing at a gig recently. I had a buddy come out and check me out, and you know, I was playing the smaller room at a venue, which I love because it's intimate, it's cool, I could try new things, I can see if it works, it's like working out. And it wasn't packed, it wasn't slammed. And you know, that room is a smaller room, it kind of breathes a little bit. People might check out the main room, they come in, they come out, and I'm okay with that. The night wasn't super packed throughout, which means I had less people in the smaller room. I don't have like this sense or this need to have to prove myself, right? So if I'm playing for a room that's not completely full, I'm okay with that. And I actually enjoy it, because I'm like, all right, let's have some fun. The people that are here are going to dance and have a great time. And to make, let's say, 35, 45 people dance and enjoy themselves when the room isn't full is a really difficult task. But when you can do it, and when I watch those 45 people all dancing and having a blast, a great time, there's a sense of fulfillment that I feel that's just on par with being in the full room where basically the tee gets set up and you just walk up to the plate and hit a home run. Because when it's super packed and there's lots of energy, it's easier to hit home runs than it is when you're getting a really good fastball by a major league pitcher, which is small room with a little bit of people. So this buddy of mine comes out and he's like, oh my gosh, it's not packed in here. I'm so sorry. I wish better for you. And I was like, dude, this is great. Are you kidding me? This is fine. I'm DJing. I'm doing what I like in front of a bunch of people. I'm doing what I love in front of a bunch of people. I'm doing what I've done for the last 20 years in front of a bunch of people. Now, it's not full, but that doesn't mean that I can't still have a good time or that they can't still have a good time. And by the way, I get paid the same in either room, so I don't care. Right? So then there's, you know, it's kind of a workout. It's a workout set. I'm hanging out. I'm trying new things. I recently did a workout set, and I had an amazing breakthrough in the order of my songs, and I saved my history, and I go, oh, I need to go back and look at this. And I've been looking at it every night to kind of get new ideas for the way that I want to string my music. So guess what? One of these smaller venues, right, where I work, and maybe it wasn't super packed, and maybe it wasn't the most amazing, glamorous, luxurious night of all time, something special happened in my order of music where it made my brain go, hey, there's something there, man. You got to go backwards and look at that once you're done here. So I save that set list, and guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go through it, and I'm going to organize my music for that order to come out more often, more frequently. And eventually, you know, this year I'm going to be playing some pretty high profile venues through the middle of the year, and I'm going to use that string of songs, a variation of it, a better idea of it, an updated version of it, when I find like how things fit and what the best progression is. And it's going to be, let's say that it was a 55 person party, a 45 person party that gave me this idea that I'm going to go play at a major venue that's recognized throughout the entire United States later on in the year. And to me, I don't see any detriment to it, and I don't feel bad about it. I don't think anyone should feel bad about it. When you're working somewhere and it's not super packed, guys, it happens to literally everybody. Like, I've been at nightclubs where I've been double booked with a major DJ, quote unquote major DJ, with the major producer is what I should say. I was the major DJ. I was the open format big guy. And then they booked an EDM producer. And I'm not going to name names, but I've been the person that gets to open and have a great time with the crowd, play a little bit of open format, obviously respecting and honoring the person that's coming on after me, so not being a complete douche about it and just playing hip hop to get the crowd riled up, and then have an EDM person come on and just play straight house music. But I've opened up for a couple of EDM producers where 15, 20 minutes into their set, they're just going, yeah, I'm done here, because no one's responding and no one cares. And it's happened. It's happened before. So everything is not all it's cracked up to be at the top levels. You should be happy with what you got. What we have as open format DJs is a great talent where we can play almost any crowd anywhere. I just sent an email about, I'm trying to get a Friday. I'm trying to do a string of bookings. And I hit up a venue about a Friday. And they're like, oh, we only do EDM on Fridays. And I'm like, I can do that. I could probably do it real good. I'll put together a real good set. It's like, now, granted, people might not come out to specifically see me, but whoever's there is going to have a goddamn great time, and they're going to say, wow, that guy was really good. I'm getting a call here. Let's see. Hello? Hello? Going once. Going twice. I guess they're robocallers on the fritz. Hope you guys have a great 2023. Check out the Patreon, patreon.com/myfavoriteDJ. I will see you guys frequently. And if you enjoyed this podcast and you think there's information, tidbits, or a factor of education or entertainment that someone you know would benefit from, do me a favor. It's real easy if you're listening on Spotify. Share it on your Instagram stories. Tag me. I'll repost it. And I'm always very appreciative of everyone that reposts these podcasts, because more people get to hear them, DJs or people that are independent contractors, individuals that have their own businesses. And I think that we're all part of a network and a collective. And if we stay together and we pass along this kind of knowledge, as I've been trying to do since 2018, this is officially the 5-year anniversary of the podcast. This year is the 5th year. If we continue to pass along information around to each other, it only makes us better. I appreciate you guys, and I hope that you check out my Patreon and go listen to my Club Killers mix and share this, whether it be on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or anywhere else, Google Podcasts as well. I think there's like 1% or 2% of the people that listen to this. Probably by mistake, they're trying to find My Favorite Murder and listen to some weird murder podcast, and they're like, what, My Favorite DJ? What the hell is this? You guys would probably do great if you listen to me instead of murder podcasts. You'd have better dreams. Probably dream of like Serato waveforms. I appreciate you guys, and I'll see you soon. I won't see you. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.